First, I would like to thank the elders for allowing me this opportunity to speak this evening. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible this evening. Jesus would sometimes present his disciples with a paradox. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, a paradox is something such as a situation that is made up of two possible opposite things, and it seems impossible, but is actually true or possible. Among the paradoxes that Jesus taught, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Matthew 16:25. So the last will be first, and the first last. Matthew 20:16. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Matthew 23:12. The inspired apostles also present us with paradoxes. The paradox I would like for us to consider this evening is joy in the midst of trials. Joy does not seem to go together with trials or suffering, but the apostles were joyful while at the same time they were suffering for the cause of Christ. For Christians, this may be one of the hardest lessons for us to learn. There are actually quite a number of scriptures on this paradox. In our study this evening, we'll not have time to look at all of them. First, let's look at a few verses about the reality of trials and persecution that will come our way if we are faithful Christians. 1 Peter 4:12-13. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:12, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. The main text I'd like for us to consider this evening is 1 Peter 1. If you have your Bible, you can turn to that. We'll be reading from verses 3 through 9. This book was written to Christians who are suffering for the cause of Christ, to encourage them to remain faithful in the midst of their persecution. Verse 1 indicates that Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, is the writer. Peter addresses the book to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. These were provinces in Asia Minor, which is now modern-day Turkey. The provinces were a part of the Roman Empire at the time of the early church. Scholars think the book was written sometime between 60 and 65 AD. This would have been at the time of the reign of the Roman Empire Emperor Nero. Nero was noted for his cruel treatment of Christians. Secular history has it that Peter was martyred during Nero's reign. Again, Peter addresses the book to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout The New King James Version reads, to the pilgrims of the dispersion. Peter, in addressing them as aliens or pilgrims, is emphasizing that they should view themselves as temporary residents and look beyond their short time on earth and the trials immediately before them to their eternal abode, to, as it says in verse 4, an inheritance reserved in heaven for you. Let's read 1 Peter 3:9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishing, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. If we're going to have joy in the midst of our trials, we will have to focus our minds, as the apostles did, on things eternal, on spiritual things. Based on our text, we will look at four themes we ought to focus on. One, focus on our salvation and inheritance, verses 3 and 4 from our text. When we obey the gospel, we have joy and thankfulness for a merciful God who makes possible salvation through his Son. We are born to a living hope, it says in verse 3. We have passed from spiritual death into life. In John 5:24, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. We are reconciled with God through Christ. Our conscience is clear because we have obeyed God and our sins are forgiven. Like the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 and the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16, we rejoice in our salvation. But our conversion is just the first step as we begin a new life. As a Christian, the first step in a lifelong journey, the first step toward a destination, a goal. We must hold on to and grow in faith in the midst of our trials to achieve that goal. We must hold on to our faith to the very end if we are to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 4. In Matthew 24, Jesus calls his disciples to him and warns them of tribulations to come. Matthew 24, verses 12 and 13. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. The Apostle Paul clearly had in his mind his ultimate goal in life. That is to be with the Lord in heaven. He always maintained the proper perspective and focus on the things that were most important, how he should face trials, and where he was headed. In 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, Paul says, "Therefore, do not lose heart, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." The point is not that our trials will not be difficult, but our trials are temporary and will come to an end, just as our time on this earth will. In comparison with the trials we must go through for a little while, the eternal glory of heaven, as Paul says, is beyond all comparison. Two, focus on our faith. Verses 5 through 7 of our text. Our faith is precious, more precious than gold, Peter says in verse 7. It is something we have to hold on to and grow in. Our faith is what will see us through our trials and difficulties. It is faith that will save us. Gold is one of the most precious elements in the world, but like everything else in this corrupt world, it is going to be destroyed when Christ returns again at the final resurrection. If we hold on to our faith to the end, we will win the ultimate victory. The Bible says it is impossible to please God without faith. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to those who seek him. In Matthew 13, Jesus gives the parable about the sower. The seed, or the word of God, is sown in various types of soil, or in the hearts of men. In Matthew 13 and 20 and 21, the one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man that hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution of the world arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. The rocky place is the one who had faith in God to start with, but his faith in a time of persecution did not last, and he fell away from God. The inspired Apostle Paul also warns of apostasy in 1 Timothy 4:1. But the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. If we don't value our faith highly and seek to grow in faith, we are setting ourselves up to become deceived by false doctrine and fall away from God. God has always spoken to man and made known his will for him throughout history. The Bible says the word of God produces faith, Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. God spoke directly to the patriarchs and through the prophets. Now, during these last days, he speaks to us through his Son. Hebrews 1:1-2. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. If we are to grow in faith, we must spend time studying the source of our faith, that is, the Word of God. Also, we must spend time regularly in prayer if we are to grow in faith. Paul's instructions to Christians in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Three, focus on God's providence and sovereignty. Verses 5 and 6 of our text. James says God does not tempt anyone with evil, James 1:13. But he does allow us to be tested. God created man upright, it says in Ecclesiastes 7:29. God also created man with the freedom to choose for himself between good and evil. Back at the beginning of creation in the Garden of Eden, everything was good. Genesis 1:31 says, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. God allowed Adam and Eve to eat of the fruit of any tree in the Garden of Eden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God warned them not to eat of the fruit of the one tree of good and evil. God did not entice Adam and Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit. It was Satan, the great deceiver, who tempted them. We may not understand why we have to go through certain trials. We might see a purpose in them, but God is in control. God does intervene in the affairs of man providentially. God does not force anyone to obey him against their own free will. But for those who are willing to submit to his will, he can use them for his purpose. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 8:2-8, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. As our Creator, he knows what's best for us. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Our faith as Christians will be tested. The early Christians were severely tested by persecution. Jewish Christians faced persecution by their fellow Jews, sometimes members of their own family. Most of the Jews rejected Christ as the Messiah and viewed Christians as heretics. In Acts 8, we see Saul the zealous Pharisee persecuting the church. This was before he became the great Apostle Paul. When Stephen was stoned to death by the Jews for preaching the truth, it says in Acts 8:1, Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. And on that day, a great persecution began at the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. In Acts 8:3 and 4, it goes on. But Saul begins ravaging the church, entering house after house, and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. God, in his divine providence, would use the persecution of the church for his purpose to spread the gospel. There was also persecution by the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire ruled most of the known world at the time of the early church. The Roman Empire was very evil, with sexual immorality, idolatry, and emperor worship. The things practiced by the Romans, Christians would find abhorrent. Christians were different. They were peculiar. They only worshiped the one true and living God. And they sought to live moral lives in accordance with the word of God. Thus, Christians would become a target for persecution by the Roman government. Perhaps the Christians that Peter was writing to were being persecuted by both the Jews and the Romans. 4, focus on Jesus, verses 8 and 9 of our text. When Peter asked Jesus if he could come out of the boat and walk on the water to the Lord, he was safe as long as he remained focused on Jesus. It took strong faith for Peter to get out of the boat and go out on the sea in the midst of a raging storm. But when he began to look away from the Lord and at the mighty waves all around him, he began to doubt and to sink into the water. We can become overwhelmed and overcome with doubt if we try to make it through the trials we face on our own strength. We have to focus on the source of all power and authority. After Jesus had been resurrected and before he ascended into heaven, he appeared to his disciples and gave them the Great Commission. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. In John chapter 15, Jesus said that he is the vine and his disciples are the branches. John 15:4-5. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. There can be no question in the life of Paul about where he found his strength to overcome the many hardships he faced. Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him, speaking of Christ, who strengthens me. In 2 Corinthians 12, we see that Paul is faced with a great challenge his thorn in the flesh. We're not told what that obstacle was, whether a physical ailment, persecution, or some other hindrance. In 2 Corinthians 12, 8 and 9, concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast in my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. In closing, I would like to read a few verses from Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. Paul says, therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Our focus must be on Christ, who is our life, and we must keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, if we are going to make it through all the trials of life and be revealed with him in glory. This evening, if you've never obeyed the gospel, you have opportunity to begin a new life. If you're willing to repent of your sins and confess Jesus, you can be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Or if you are a Christian and you would like the prayers of the congregation, won't you come as we stand and sing?